Unlock me! Unlock me!
I'm not going to swear, okay?
You know what I'm saying?
No.
It's Mark Grody on 670 The Score.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hello yourself. You guys are all doing well. We've got a really big show tonight. Lots to discuss. Guest-wise, we've got Ben Verlander coming up at 6:20 from MLB, or I should say Fox Sports MLB. We've got Kendall Gill of the Bulls broadcast talking Bulls and draft, which is bearing down on us. At 8 o'clock, we've got Michael Cerami, who covers the Cubs on a daily basis for Bleacher Nation. But what is going through my mind right now, after having watched today's Cubs game, Cubs over the Giants by a final score of 6-5, and having witnessed what the Cubs did last night as well, that was to win, to beat San Francisco by a final score of 5-2. In so doing, the Cubs win 2 out of 3 in relatively impressive fashion. So I'm thinking to myself, does this, what just happened right before us, because we're all riding this roller coaster, does that move the meter? Does what happened with the Cubs move the meter, taking 2 out of 3 from San Francisco and doing it how they did it? I will give you my answer in a second. Let me give you, though, the phone number to talk Cubs baseball. 312-644-6767 is the number to call. If you would like to text, 312-644-6767 is the number. First things first, if you didn't see the Cubs game today, they beat the Giants by a final score of 6-5. Kyle Hendricks today, 5 2/3 strong, allowed 1 run on 2 hits, struck out 8, walked 1, 75 pitches on the day. Good old efficient Kyle Hendricks, who looked like old school Hendricks in terms of not just the efficiency, the strikeouts, striking out 8 in the game. That's old school Kyle Hendricks, who would always sneak up on you for between 7 and 9 strikeouts, it always felt like, in a game. And a guy who, because we talk so much about his velocity, you forget that the dude strikes guys out. So that was why it was old school Hendricks. He had not been doing as much of that this year, part of a whole barrel of issues that Hendricks had this year. But today was legit. He struck out the side to begin the game, struck out, I think, the 5 of the first 9 guys that he faced in this game. He looked good. And I take that for what it is. But what I'm about to tell you in terms of whether or not the Cubs are moving the meter or not doesn't really involve Kyle Hendricks. But just some of the other highlights from today: Ian Happ, Dansby Swanson also hitting home runs, as a matter of fact, back-to-back in the 4th inning. Dansby Swanson then really the biggest hit of the game, a 2-run single in the 7th to make it 5-1 Cubs. And he did it on a 2-2 count with 2 outs. So it was big time stuff from Dansby Swanson for sure. But of course it got sweaty. Keegan Thompson, who looked so good in saving the game last night, 3 strikeouts, he and his wife just had a baby. So he was not available to the Chicago Cubs on this day. So it's Colton Brewer at the end of the bullpen today. And you had Jorge Soler hitting a grand slam off of him in the 9th inning to make you go palm to the forehead. Are you serious? Is this really going on again? But the Giants did not build on it any further. They did not overtake the Cubs. The Cubs end up winning the game by a final of 6-5. So it got crazy in the end and, you know, indictable on a certain level relative to many of the things that have been going on for the Cubs. It does move the meter for me. This series does. The reason it does, and not a lot, trust me, not a lot. And, you know, the Cubs are 36-39 at this second, 8 games back of the Milwaukee Brewers. So when I say it moved the meter this series, I say, there were some really encouraging things going on that almost feel like outlier to the way that this season has gone for the Cubs. And there are two things the Cubs had in this series, offense and starting pitching, with the bullpen, the late bullpen, remaining the number one suspect right now. But that offense part, it has been so long since the Cubs averaged 5-plus runs a game in the series is exactly what they did. Not only that, but finally, almost as if we're all collectively just eviscerating the Cubs for not hitting the ball over the wall, they are finally, or in this series, they finally started to jack some balls out of the park. I mean, you just look at like the skeleton portions of some of these games. Today, I just went through it with you. The Cubs hit 3 home runs today, or I should say 2 home runs on the day. And they had good starting pitching, that coming from Kyle Hendricks. Last night, the Cubs win the game because of a big home run off the bat of Dansby Swanson. And you had Justin Steele, 6 2/3, allowed 2 runs on 4 hits, struck out 8, and walked a couple of guys. So that was encouraging. As disastrous as that first game of the series was on Monday, where San Fran beat the Cubs 7-6, Tyro Estrada with a 3-run jack in the 9th inning against Hector Neris just to stimulate or bring back that trauma from the other night. But in that game, which the Cubs lost, they got good starting pitching again out of Javier Assad. 5 innings, 1 run, allowed 5 hits, struck out 7, walked 2. Another guy, you sometimes like, how does this guy keep striking guys out? But he does that. So you had that, and you had really what felt like one of the most thrilling moments of the season was that Ian Happ 3-run homer in the 7th that made it 6-3. So again, I saw some things in this series that moved the meter just a little bit. Got a long way to go. You now need to see more of it and make me sit at this microphone and not say things like, boy, the Cubs hitting, 3-run homers and things like that, that's an outlier. I want to eliminate that. I want that to be the norm, or at least get back to average or above it in terms of the big hits, the slug. Keep that starting pitching going. And of course, we do need to deal with what is going on in the bullpen, because that has been disastrous in sports terms as of recently as well. I don't know if it's Hector Neris. And one thing you got to say about this administration, the Craig Counsell administration, it seems like they've got a pretty good idea on when to pull the plug on players, because they had to do it with Adbert Alzolay this year. They had to do it with Kyle Hendricks this year. They've been up and down with PCA this year. They just pulled the plug on Yan Gomes. But I'm talking about like real things on when something simply is not going to happen. Let's hide Alzolay. We're on the cusp of something like this right now with Hector Neris, even if Craig Counsell is not indicating that through the media or directly to us at this point. We have seen enough to know that Craig Counsell, when things are not going well, not going right, he will pull the plug. I mean, man, Ian Happ, I don't think he was necessarily close to getting the plug pulled on him, but they were worried about him, and they identified it and said, okay, this is not working. We've got to do better things with him. It's a nice reclamation project. We're talking about that specifically, though. 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm Mark Rohde. Read some of your text messages here in a second, but let's go to your calls. Just in this, right in the Cubs roller coaster, this 3-game series, did it move the meter for you? Because again, for me, it did a little bit, simply because 5 runs, 6 runs, 5 runs, 3-run homers, back-to-back home runs. It felt really good to in this series to take 2 out of 3. Let's go to Alex in Beach Park. What's going on, Alex? You're on the Score.
Well, you want to move the meter? I got 4 key points for you to move the meter.
Okay.
A, you trade for the Colorado Rockies catcher He's a hell of a defensive and offensive hitting catcher. Two, you need a third baseman that can hit with power and play defense. Three, two relief pitchers. And four, you need the closer from Oakland, the young kid out of Oakland.
Yes, I forget his name. We're at a stalemate here at this very second. But no, I mean, you're right, but I just don't think the Cubs, like, they're not going to be that ambitious yet. This was a successful series, no doubt about it. It moved the meter. Your meter moved a little bit more than mine did. It did not put me in the position of, okay, go out and get the closer from the Oakland A's. Because at this point, they've got to show me they can compete in this division and do what they did in this series in a more refined way, because you still have to get the end of the bullpen working as well. But some form of that with the runs, and it's not like they had some big blowout with the runs. Five runs is nice. Six runs is nice. And I'd still like that big 17-run inning or just something crazy, or game, I should say, just to really get it out of their system. But if they do that with the starting pitching they have, you can put the band back together and it can move the meter a little bit. We're going to discuss more of that specifically later on, but let's keep the baseball talk going next. We are going to be joined by Ben Verlander, a Fox Sports MLB analyst. He's got his own podcast, which we'll talk about as well. But he's got a pretty sharp eye on not only the Cubs, but he was very hard on the Chicago White Sox. We're going to hear from Ben Verlander next here. I'm Mark Grody on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I do want to correct something. Sometimes we could let things go. This one I cannot let go. Cubs game today, they beat the Giants 6-5. The Jorge Soler home run was off of Tyson Miller. I knew something sounded odd coming out of my mouth when I was saying it. So that home run in the eighth inning, and all credit, obviously, to what the Cubs did today and their bullpen. But I wanted to completely make that clear there at the end, because I did not make that very clear at all, and Brewer was the one that ended up getting the save in that game for the Cubs, who win the game by a final score of 6-5 over the Giants at Wrigley Field. So there, and thank you to all of those who did catch it and correct me on the text line. Hey, that's the way it works sometimes. We now are going to let you hear from Ben Verlander, and to make this clear as well, he was on with us before today's Cubs game, as we're talking about the Cubs and the White Sox right now.
Welcome back in on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. I am Mark Grody, and we are now happy to have joining us on The Score, Ben Verlander, Fox Sports MLB analyst. He's the host of the Flippin' Bats pod, former pro baseball player as well. Hello, Ben. Thanks for coming on with us, man. How are you doing?
Of course. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
No, absolutely. And good time to talk to you, because both of our baseball teams here in Chicago are kind of in crisis. You know, this is the time of the baseball season where there is heavy meaning. There is no longer the excuse of it's early in the year. Yeah, there's a decent amount of games left, but it's getting real. Cubs finally got a win last night where the hitting and the relief pitching and the starting pitching, which has mostly been good, all held up, a 5-2 victory. And I guess my question to you is, Ben, and feel free to comment on last night's game if you want, but I think what Cubs fans want to know right now is why has that been so hard to come by this year for the Cubs, where you get complete games out of this ball club, where they look like the team that maybe a lot of us thought they should have been when the season began?
Yeah, it's been it's frustrating to watch them from the outside, to be honest. You know, I watch games, and for one reason or another, it just seems they're finding ways to lose, whether that be the offense being too inconsistent, or one thing that I've seen time and time again is the bullpen collapsing down the stretch. And early in the year, it was Alzolay in that closer role, and he got bumped out, and was watching a game a couple of days ago, and two-run lead. Neris comes in, walks a couple guys, gives up a homer, and it's just like you can't win ball games in Major League Baseball if you're walking guys in the ninth inning consistently. You just can't. It's a different game come the ninth inning, and you know you're going to win a lot of games if you're giving up one solo homer in the ninth inning, and that's it. But if you're walking guys and then giving up homers, that's what's going to happen. So to me, it's been the bullpen has been a massive, massive concern. And if that doesn't get fixed quickly, they're going to find themselves too far out of anything, at least in the division. I know the NL wildcard race, literally everybody has a chance. But in that division, they're going to fall too far out of it pretty quickly if they can't figure out the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I mean, they let Alzolay go long enough to blow at least five saves, and then they figured out a safe place for him to be, and that's really not on the roster, and an injury involved in that as well. You know, you mentioned Hector Neris as well. You know, and I try to look, and they used Keegan Thompson for whatever it's worth last night, and he was very good in last night's game where he struck out the side. I don't know if that is the solution, but at this point, it's, I guess, you know, maybe some of that comes from within. Bullpens are such a tricky thing. You think that you have a plan for your pen, and usually teams are not trying to spend a ton at first. But, you know, we just don't know if the Cubs want to feel like it's worth adding on to this team. But you look at, and I'm not asking you for specific names necessarily, it does feel like we're in an era where there are going to be arms available out there, bullpen arms, more than maybe usual. Like I've heard people talking about, it's harder to get a really good position player right now than it is a bullpen guy. So I think if the Cubs want to be ambitious, Ben, it feels like they could put it together. It's just a matter of whether or not they feel it's worthwhile with the roster they already have.
Well, I think the roster they already have is talented enough if you add the right pieces. So I would be frustrated if I'm a Cubs fan for nothing to happen. You know, I think they showed last year that they're capable of being a playoff team. They got hot at the right time, and just that series with the Braves at the end of the year, and it didn't end up happening. But the roster is good enough. And this year I thought in the offseason they did a good job of improving it. I thought signing back Cody Bellinger was a necessity. I didn't think it was a good fit for the team. I thought it was a necessity for the team to be where they want to be. I thought adding Bush was a really good addition. I liked him a lot. Imanaga was kind of a question mark. All of those questions have been answered. He's been better than any of the free agent signings pitching-wise to this point, better than Yamamoto. So I just feel like with the wild card the way it is, everybody's going to be in contention. It's still June. I would love to see them go add an arm and shore up the back end of the bullpen a little bit. That's the glaring problem. And just because you had a plan at the beginning of the year, as you mentioned, plans don't always work, right? Like, obviously, Alzolay last year was great and not the same guy this year. So you have a plan of, okay, we're going to go sign Neris and then we'll have an 8-9 inning guy. That doesn't always work. And sometimes in the beginning of the year, you have to adapt before it's too late. I mean, look at on the other side of the league, the Houston Astros had their plan for 7, 8, and 9 in the bullpen with Abreu, Presley and Hader. Well, that's not working. So why? I just feel like you have to, at some point, make a change and figure things out. And in the Cubs instance, go add an arm before it's too late. I think as much as Bellinger was a necessity at the beginning of the year, I think a bullpen arm right now is a necessity.
Yeah, man. I mean, it just makes me think as you're talking about bullpens, you just can't account for everything that happens in the bullpen. It's the most volatile, one of the most volatile positions in sports, where one year you can look brilliant, the next year it can crumble. And I guess you do have to account for it to some degree. You better have some backup plans. But sometimes you could think that Alzolay, after last year and how encouraging it was, that he's going to come in and be one of the best closers in the league, and then boom, absolutely not. The other thing I want to ask you about, Ben, regarding the Cubs is, I guess that brings us to Craig Counsell. And the Cubs organization has told everybody, without saying it out loud, how much the manager matters. They get rid of the popular David Ross. They pay record money to Craig Counsell to come in here. So I'm not even wanting to debate how much the manager matters. The Cubs have told you it does. What kind of a job do you think Craig Counsell has done in his first season. And, you know, being that you said this roster looked good coming into this season.
Yeah, you know, I think when you look at the course of a season, the manager matters the most when you're talking, you know, having your guys, giving them days, managing your team. You know, he comes in with a bullpen that is supposed to have their closer. So, you know, a month into the year, you are with a new organization and running a new team and needing to make a decision on closer. He ultimately did that. I think a manager makes their big bucks in October, where, you know, every manager seemingly pushes the panic button and freaks out and makes these moves too early and all that stuff. I think that's where a manager makes the most difference. In a regular season, I think it's about keeping your team in shape and giving guys off days where they need it and knowing when to play guys and when not to play guys. But in terms of what he's done so far this year, I hesitate to say that he hasn't done a good job. I mean, what's he supposed to do with the back end of the bullpen? That's you paid a lot of money to have Neris come in and be a big arm in the back end of that bullpen. What's he supposed to do when a guy comes in and walks a couple guys, gives up a homer? Next thing you know, he's getting booed at Wrigley. I mean, he's been in a tough position so far. I don't blame him. I do think he is a really good manager, and I ultimately think the Cubs are a good team. They just need some help.
Talking to Ben Verlander, Fox Sports MLB analyst, host of the Flippin' Bats pod, former pro baseball player as well. And I want to draw on your former playing days as well. Is it a truism? Do players really press when they're out there? We're hearing that a lot about the Cubs from an offensive standpoint. Do they really press, or is that just something that they say and that we all corroborate in the media because it sounds good to say that guys are essentially trying too hard?
It is absolutely true. And, and the issue with it becomes it. This is also another statement of baseball as a whole, but it's a hard sport, and it's such a mental game. The game is so mental. I think Yogi said it best, 60, whatever it was, 80% of the game is half mental or something along those lines. But it's true. At a certain point in baseball, I even saw it. I didn't make it to the big leagues, but at the professional level, everyone's good. Everyone has a good swing. Everyone knows how to play the game. Everyone is, for the most part, good enough to make it. It's about separating yourself mentally, and that's where it really gets difficult, because baseball is a game of struggle. You're going to fail 70% of the time, and if you do that, you're a Hall of Famer. So dealing with failure is really important and very difficult, especially when you're playing and you're a hitter, and every time you get out, you walk up to the plate and your numbers are posted all around the ballpark, and you look up at the scoreboard and you see that average dwindling down little by little by little by little. It becomes very difficult. And that's why hitting is a snowball effect in each direction. When you're going well, it's going great. And this is typically true for a singular person, but when it's happening for one, it's also a snowball effect for a lineup. So you see that in both directions. And right now, you just have a lot of guys in the Cubs lineup pressing and struggling, and it's with them mentally. And that just becomes a negative snowball effect. And when it gets going on the other end, it can be great. But right now, they're all going through it a little bit. But it's definitely true. Baseball is, you definitely press in the batter's box.
I will accept that from you, a pro baseball player. Yeah, I've never asked an athlete that, and I'm glad I did. And that's a really good answer for me and for my own knowledge. Zooming out a little bit in the National League Central, Milwaukee 43-30. I mean, they're as I look at it at this very moment, Ben, they're the only team over 500 in the National League Central. St. Louis 500 at 36 wins, 36 losses. Cincinnati 35-38, Pittsburgh 35-38, and the Cubs 35-39, 8.5 back. Is Milwaukee the class of the National League Central? Is there any doubt about that?
I mean, this is not what I saw at the beginning of the year. I was wrong on the Brewers. You know, with the lead they have in the division right now, it's tough to say no. But I really didn't have the entire division being like this. In fact, I had the NL Central being what the AL Central is this year, of a bunch of teams just surprising, and the Reds being good and the Cubs being good and the Pirates taking good steps, the Cardinals being better than they were last year. And who I didn't have the Brewers being as good as a lot of those other teams. So
neither did I.
I'm going to say, yeah, they are. I think I was wrong on them. I think they pitch well enough. I like the additions to the lineup. Rhys Hoskins, Yelich is back to being Christian Yelich. Willy Adames is the same guy in that lineup. He might not hit 300, but he's going to run into a ball at some point throughout a game. So, yeah, I mean, I absolutely, as we sit now, what you said, they're eight games, 6.5 games up. They look to be pretty good. I think I was wrong about the Brewers.
Yeah. There was a point where this season, I think maybe it was when the Cubs last were at Miller Park, where I was like, yeah, like they're kind of the team that everybody was waiting to take that step back. And maybe a lot of people still are waiting for them to take that step back, but they play a good brand of baseball. And it gets to the point where, yeah, just accept them that they're that team that is going to be good this year. And that's the way the National League Central is looking right now. If I may, the American League Central, and that's where we find our Chicago White Sox as well, 20-54 right now in the American League Central. They are 26 games out. We struggle in Chicago to know exactly how to talk about this team on a day-to-day basis because they just don't do that many interesting things. They've had some drama off the field with thoughts about their manager, Pedro Grifol, their broadcaster, which I know you're not in the weeds on like we are here in Chicago. But I don't know. I guess, is there any surprise that the White Sox are where they are considering this kind of rolling breakdown that the White Sox have been going through?
Not a surprise at all. We're sitting here on June 19th and they're 26 games out of first place. That is an embarrassment. And I would have told you after the 2023 season ended that the only good thing that the Chicago White Sox would have going for them in the 2024 season was Jason Benetti. And even they got rid of him. I mean, it's a nightmare what's going on with that organization. And I have vowed to myself on my show that I am going to try and talk less and less heated about the White Sox and the Oakland A's. And I don't find myself doing a great job because it is frustrating. And I go back to last year or 2 years ago when I felt like the roster was pretty good and had a chance to do some good things. And it just I think it starts at the top with this organization. And I know it starts at the top of this organization. They're all buddies. They're all friends. They all became good friends with the Kansas City Royals. And then they were like, okay, let's be friends and go run an organization all together. And we're going to hire our friend, Tony La Russa, and we're going to hire all our friends and have so much fun. Well, losing's not fun. And they've been getting their brains beat in for years now, and it needs to get figured out from the top, and it didn't work. So tear it all down, figure it out within the organization, and I ultimately just feel bad for the players out on the field because it's not their fault. It's not their fault. They're just going out there with the roster they have and trying their best to win ball games. And the front office and the organization isn't putting them in a good spot and not creating a good culture for the entire organization. It gets frustrating.
That's interesting that you can see it, and that is the way a lot of us see it around here too. That it absolutely starts at the top. And you said that you're trying to be less and less heated when you talk about the White Sox. I imagine that's impossible just because maybe the Sox will win a game, but then they'll just get blasted out of the water. There is no other way to discuss this team right now than what, because it came up today on the score too, that, you know, the idea for the team, part of why Chris Getz was hired, and I'm sure he's a wonderful man and all that and knows baseball to some degree, but the idea of hiring Chris Getz by Jerry Reinsdorf and the powers that be were because there would be less time of get to know you. He could come in and they could turn this thing around quickly. That's all starting to sound like a bunch of BS now.
Yeah, I agree completely. There's definitely some positives with the team this year. When Luis Robert Jr. is on the field, he's great. He's really good. Garrett Crochet has been really good. Eric Fetty's been really good. But
yeah,
it's everything else. You know, baseball is not like a lot of other sports. You have a good quarterback, you're probably going to be good. You have LeBron James, you're probably going to be pretty good. But that's not how baseball works. You need a lineup of 9 guys and you need a roster of 26 guys to be good and competitive. And Are there bright spots? Sure. But there are a lot more negatives than there are positives.
I think that Eric Fetty is definitely somebody that they have to trade. I know Paul DeJong is a guy that's already basically said, he said it on our radio station, that, yeah, he's going to get traded. What do you do with Luis Robert? Do you build around that guy or do you trade that guy?
I think you trade some guys. I mean, it hasn't worked. I mean, I think they tried to build around Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez, and it just, you know, I think you just kind of start from scratch. I mean, when it comes to Luis Robert, what are you able to get? I think is going to be the question. And the only reason I'd be hesitant to build around him is his injury history. So is the face of your franchise injury prone isn't a great thing. So I think test the market, see if you can get some top prospects for him, and maybe just start from scratch. I love Crochet. I love what he brings. I think you found something there. I think you found something with him in the rotation. And I love Fetty. I think they could be a great 1-2 punch, but go see what you could get for Luis Robert. See what some of your prospects can do and maybe build around those two guys in the rotation. But I have a feeling Crochet might get traded as well. So I don't know their plan. If I was in charge, which I'm not, and not even qualified to do, but I would definitely do some things differently than they have over the last couple of years.
Well, and you, like most people, wouldn't want to be a part of it right now. I mean, at least that's what the players in Major League Baseball are saying, but that's just because they're so down. Last couple of questions for you, Ben Verlander. I'm Mark Rohde on The Score of Ben with Fox Sports MLB, host of the Flippin' Bats podcast and former pro baseball player as well. Give me the best team in the American League through your eyes and the best team in the National League right now.
I think the best team in the American League is the New York Yankees. Yeah. I know them and the Orioles are neck and neck right there in the AL East, but we see it here on Wednesday. The Yankees are getting the best pitcher in baseball back. They haven't had him all year, and they get him back, and he's going to be great for the Yankees. Obviously, they're only going to get better. Juan Soto in that lineup has changed everything. I think he's allowed a guy like Giancarlo Stanton to kind of take one step of a role lower and get back to producing. I mean, he's had a really good year for them, and he's a key to that lineup. So I just think the rotation's really good. They've stepped up huge. I think the lineup is great. The bullpen's been really good. So I'm going to say the Yankees in the American League, and in the National League, I'm going to go with the Phillies. I have the Phillies winning the World Series this year. I did before the year started, and they have absolutely nothing to deter me from saying that. So, you could say it's the best rotation in the National League. You could say it's the best lineup in total. I think when healthy, I know Mookie just went down, but when healthy, the Dodgers have the best 1-2-3 in all of baseball. I don't think there's much of an argument there, but I just think their rotation, their offense, and their bullpen is elite, and I think they're the best team in the National League. So I'm going to go Yankees and Phillies.
Don't disagree at all. Yeah, the Yankees have won me over too. That's the same. I think it was the recent game that I was just watching with them against the Reds. So I'm like, that team is, I don't even know if they won the game, but they're just so stacked. And even Rizzo went down in that contest. But yeah, they're good. They're scary. And who knows how they will attack at the trade deadline along with some of these other heavies, which would be very interesting to see. Last thing I want to ask you, Ben, is about Willie Mays. We lost, you know, maybe the greatest baseball player of all time. You know, I'm sure you didn't see him play. I know I did not get to see him play. But, you know, everybody absolutely stands by the work that he did as a baseball player. And it was interesting because the news was broken during the Cubs-Giants game in the fifth inning. So I'm sitting here watching the game, and the news comes out, and there's a moment of silence at Wrigley eventually, all handled really well by the Cubs and the Giants broadcasters. Your thoughts on Willie Mays?
Yeah, I think you said it great. I think there's when you talk about baseball has such a deep history, maybe more so than any sport, at least in the United States. And when you ask the question, who's the greatest of all time? It gets tricky. You could name a handful of guys, I think, and not be wrong. And Willie Mays is on that list. He is on that short list, absolutely. for his play on the field. He'll forever be remembered for that catch in center field over the shoulder, which he'll tell you isn't even in his top 10. It was a sad day for the game of baseball. It always is when an all-time legend passes away, but hopefully, and as you said, I thought the Cubs did a really good job, and hopefully that continues and we can celebrate the player that he was, the person he was, and what he did for the game of baseball as a whole. He's forever left his mark on the game that I love so much and so many people love, and for that, I'll be forever grateful, and yeah, he'll absolutely be missed.
Very well said, Ben. I appreciate your time, and I'm sure actually White Sox fans around here would not mind if you stayed at a 10 talking about the Sox on the Flippin' Bats podcast.
Yeah, I think it's a safe bet. I've tried my best not to, but one of my producers on the show is a big White Sox fan, and he gets me heated up, and then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to talk about this today, and next thing you know, I'm yelling about the White Sox. It never fails.
Yeah, they need it right now, man. They need it from all angles, so we appreciate it. Ben, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you coming on The Score, man.
Of course. Appreciate you having me.
I see you, White Sox fans. Don't worry. I mean, yeah, that was really good stuff on both of our teams. And by the way, we, on this show, I'm Mark Grody, we are going to talk a lot more about Willie Mays in about 15 minutes from now, 7 o'clock. We will hear kind of how it went down on this radio station and in San Francisco, and probably on all of the broadcasts that were going on, that we all sort of got the news. This is one of those rare moments in life where those of us who are very interested in watching Cubs games all got to take that ride together, essentially finding out, if you're watching the game, that Willie Mays had died, and you get to hear the real-time reactions and then a video tribute a little bit later on. So we'll discuss that coming up here at 7 o'clock. A few text messages from the 309. All that's been previously texted, Grody, pick up on the line, dude. I don't know. I don't understand that text message. Maybe you can figure that out, Tyler, but we're not going to waste too much time with it. I'm really just trying to crack a code and seeing if I'm the only one completely confused by it. From the 574, tell me a time other than the Chapman trade when we, I guess Cubs fans, made our run at that we've been good in the bullpen that gave the bullpen a spike. It's an interesting question, but the first name that came to my brain, Mike Montgomery. On July 20th, 2016, the Cubs acquired Mike Montgomery for Jordan Preece from the Mariners for Paul Blackburn and Dan Vogelbach as well. Mike Montgomery, very good in relief that year for the Cubs, and obviously was the last man standing on the mound in Cleveland when the Cubs did win Game 7 and subsequently win the World Series. So that's my answer on that right there. 847, it's move the needle, not move the meter. Just for that, you're right. Yeah, you're right. But just for that, I'm sticking with move the meter. All right, I'm stubborn. I was asking the question, does it move the meter, this Cubs series win, taking 2 out of 3 from San Francisco? It did for me a little bit. The needle, the meter, whatever it is that you need to move right there. 773, great to hear your growths. Really miss TDS. Can you say, hi, Jaden, for my nephew, Patrick and Gage Park? Well, I guess I just did it. Lots of text messages coming in. I appreciate it. 312-644-6767. When we return, let's hear from Kyle Hendricks, who was excellent today, and the Cubs 6-5 win over the Giants at Wrigley Field, which you heard right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
And now the 1-2, swing and a miss, strike 3. How about Kyle Hendricks? He has struck out 5 of the first 8 batters, has not allowed a hit so far. Nothing game, third inning. The batter is Trenton Brooks.
Kyle Hendricks was really good today in the Cubs 6-5 win over the Giants. Legit. I'm Mark Grody on The Score. Hendricks went 5 2/3, allowed 1 run on 2 hits, struck out 8, walked 1, 75 pitches in the game. I mean, he was good from the beginning, striking out the side and overcoming some things in this game where he hadn't in some of his previous starts. He was very good today. Game got sweaty when Jorge Soler traded for who back in 2017? That'd be Wade Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Jorge Soler hitting a grand slam in the eighth off Tyson Miller. I botched that earlier. And it was Colton Brewer who got the save. So big congrats to him. I mean, that's what it is for the Cubs right now. Like, we're Keegan Thompson, congratulations on your save last night. But that was great. Colton Brewer, congrats. Thank you. So we're like treating them like an amateur team when it comes to closing out games. But Kyle Hendricks was good today. I have not heard either of these cuts, but the description of this first cut from Kyle Hendricks surprised me a little bit, and maybe he's just saying it, but we'll all get to listen together. Hendricks said he learned a lot from being in the bullpen.
Yeah, I learned a ton, to be honest. Completely different perspective. Learned a lot about myself. It was honestly so enjoyable sitting down there, being with that group, being with the guys, and like the possibility of being in every game, even though you might be down or something, it's just different. And to stay locked in on the game, pitch to pitch, watching what's going on, those guys taught me so much down there. And so I feel like I got better just sitting down there and hanging out and talking to them. And yeah, it's my routine has kind of changed now. You know, shorter bullpens, shorter pregame warm-up. I learned that it didn't take too much to get loose, especially in a day like today, you know, when it's hot. But yeah, changed a lot about kind of how I go about it. But at the end of the day, just better focus on the mound and better execution. That's bottom line.
I actually find everything he just said to have sounded genuine. Like, I believe him when he says all of that. I mean, just because of the descriptive and enthusiastic way and the inflection that he used talking about the thing about this man that we know about Kyle Hendricks is he likes to learn. He likes to learn, and he was smart enough to go to the bullpen and to be, at least and mentally, all in. I mean, the results have been wavy at best with his work in the bullpen so far and as collectively as a starter, but At least now I believe everything he was saying, that he understood going to the bullpen and he'll make the most of it. And he's not thinking about quitting or any of that stuff. So it really does come back as genuine. And when he says something like that, it tells you about Kyle Hendricks, something we knew. This man likes to learn. One other cut from Kyle Hendricks, and this one says that he feels good to be able to help the team wherever.
Yeah, it's just good being able to help the team. Honestly, it's kind of where I've been the last few weeks, assuming new roles and doing whatever's kind of asked of me. Just really want to be a part, being able to contribute to winning baseball. It's been it. So it's just really good to execute, be out there today. I mean, honestly, it's tough being back in the starting rotation with the circumstances. You know, having two young guys go out is tough. You never want to see that, especially two of our best pitchers this year. So it shouldn't happen, you know, to be back in there. But take advantage of it, just try to do what I could for the team, and just unbelievable game all around. It shows just how tough it is winning a big league ball game. No matter what, day in and day out, it's tough out there, but super cool the guys staying with it, and for Brew, first career save, it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything he said right there, how can you look at this start and say, yep, he's back, Kyle Hendricks is going to be okay. It would be amazing, though, if he did get back to some semblance of himself and to reclaim the rest of this season. I mean, this guy was on life support, on sports figurative life support in terms of, we're talking about, you know, does he have enough? Does he have 10 years in the league? Is he okay like that? Like, we're all thinking, is he going to be, when he leaves the house finally, is our little Kyle going to be okay? Is everything going to be fine? Like, maybe he's, because it's very complicated, as we've said, with Kyle Hendricks. It still is. But, you know, I mean, he has done this throughout his career. Now, has never been as dramatic as this, but it feels like Kyle Hendricks always has a patch during seasons in previous years, even the really good ones, where he'd have a bad start or two when he looks so hittable that you're like, oh, man. And then he'd like throw a one-hitter in San Diego or Los Angeles or something like that, or shut, you know, throw, you know, get 9 or 10 strikeouts. You know what I mean? Do the Kyle Hendricks thing. He just has not been able to turn that trick this year. Maybe this is the catalyst for it. All I'm saying is it would be amazing for him and for the Cubs now if it was to be. When we return, let's talk about Willie Mays, one of the greatest, you know, team sport athletes of all time. And we lost him the other day. We'll talk about Willie Mays next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.
And now the 1-2, swing and a miss, strike three. How about Kyle Hendricks? He has struck out five of the first eight batters, has not allowed a hit so far. Nothing-nothing game, third inning. The batter is Trenton Brooks.
Kyle Hendricks was really good today in the Cubs' 6-5 win over the Giants. Legit. I'm Mark Grody on the score. Hendricks went 5 2/3, allowed one run on two hits, struck out eight, walked one, 75 pitches in the game. I mean, he was good from the beginning, striking out the side and overcoming some things in this game where he hadn't in some of his previous starts. He was very good today. Game got sweaty when Jorge Soler traded for who back in 2017? That'd be Wade Davis, ladies and gentlemen. Jorge Soler hitting a grand slam in the eighth off Tyson Miller. I botched that earlier. And it was Colton Brewer who got the save. So big congrats to him. I mean, that's what it is for the Cubs right now. Like, we're Keegan Thompson, congratulations on your save last night. Boy, that was great. Colton Brewer, congrats. Thank you. So we're like treating them like an amateur team when it comes to closing out games. But Kyle Hendricks was good today. I have not heard either of these cuts, but the description of this first cut from Kyle Hendricks surprised me a little bit, and maybe he's just saying it, but we'll all get to listen together. Hendricks said he learned a lot from being in the bullpen.
Yeah, I learned a ton, to be honest. Completely different perspective. Learned a lot about myself. It was honestly so enjoyable sitting down there, being with that group, being with the guys, and like the possibility of being in every game, even though you might be down or something, it's just different. And to stay locked in on the game, pitch to pitch, watching what's going on, those guys taught me so much down there. And so I feel like I got better just sitting down there and hanging out and talking to them. And yeah, it's my routine has kind of changed now. You know, shorter bullpens, shorter pregame warm-up. I learned that it didn't take too much to get loose, especially in a day like today, you know, when it's hot. But yeah, changed a lot about kind of how I go about it. But at the end of the day, just better focus on the mound and better execution. That's bottom line.
I actually find everything he just said to have sounded genuine. Like, I believe him when he says all of that. I mean, just because of the descriptive and enthusiastic way and the inflection that he used talking about the thing about this man that we know about Kyle Hendricks is he likes to learn. He likes to learn, and he was smart enough to go to the bullpen and to be, at least and mentally, all in. I mean, the results have been wavy at best with his work in the bullpen so far, and as collectively as a starter, but At least now I believe everything he was saying, that he understood going to the bullpen and he'll make the most of it. And he's not thinking about quitting or any of that stuff. So it really does come back as genuine when he says something like that. It tells you about Kyle Hendricks, something we knew. This man likes to learn. One other cut from Kyle Hendricks, and this one says that he feels good to be able to help the team wherever.
Yeah, it's just good being able to help the team. Honestly, it's kind of where I've been the last few weeks, assuming new roles and doing whatever's kind of asked of me. Just really want to be a part, being able to contribute to winning baseball. It's been it. So it's just really good to execute, be out there today. I mean, honestly, it's tough being back in the starting rotation with the circumstances. You know, having two young guys go out is tough. You never want to see that, especially two of our best pitchers this year. So it shouldn't happen, you know, to be back in there. But take advantage of it, just try to do what I could for the team, and just unbelievable game all around. It shows just how tough it is winning a big league ball game. No matter what, day in and day out, it's tough out there. But super cool the guys staying with it, and for Brew, first career save, it's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything he said right there. How can you look at this start and say, yep, he's back, Kyle Hendricks is going to be okay. It would be amazing, though, if he did get back to some semblance of himself and to reclaim the rest of this season. I mean, this guy was on life support, on sports figurative life support in terms of, we're talking about, you know, does he have enough? Okay, does he have 10 years in the league? Is he okay like that? Like, we're all thinking, is he going to be, when he leaves the house finally, is our little Kyle going to be okay? Is everything going to be fine? Like, maybe he's, because it's very complicated, as we've said, with Kyle Hendricks. It still is. But, you know, I mean, he has done this throughout his career. Not, has never been as dramatic as this, but it feels like Kyle Hendricks always has a patch during seasons in previous years, even the really good ones, where he'd have a bad start or two when he looks so hittable that you're like, oh, man. And then he'd like throw a one-hitter in San Diego or Los Angeles or something like that, or shut, you know, throw, you know, get 9 or 10 strikeouts. You know what I mean? Do the Kyle Hendricks thing. He just has not been able to turn that trick this year. Maybe this is the catalyst for it. All I'm saying is it would be amazing for him and for the Cubs now if it was to be. When we return, let's talk about Willie Mays, one of the greatest, you know, team sport athletes of all time. And we lost him the other day. We'll talk about Willie Mays next. I'm Mark Grody on The Score.